This is the Mike Slater Show.
A better you for a better us.
AM 760, KFMB.
To the things I believe in. My faith, your love, our freedom. To the things I can count on to keep me going strong. Yeah.
Crusaders, America's greatest country in the world. San Diego's America's finest city. Happy Thursday. Best day of the week. With the two gentlemen who are in the studio here, the three of us went to Donovan Prison last night. And we met with some men who most certainly grew up in difficult situations. And some men who made some bad decisions in life. But these 60 men want to rewrite their life into an incredible redemption story. And they want to live a meaningful life, and they want to help others not make the same decisions that they made. And that, to me, is incredibly brave and admirable, and I love that. And because of Kit and Jeff here, these men have a positive purpose and a mission. And I think it's important, because in a country today where we're told that there's nothing but racial strife and anger and hatred and division, it is amazing how these incredibly productive things can happen in a prison, right? So if this can happen in a prison, then what the heck is our excuse? And the guys at Donovan are listening right now. I want to give a shout out to them, and we'll talk about them. We'll talk about us right now with Kit Cummings and Jeff here. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Great. Glad to be here again.
Is that a fair introduction?
Fair. Yeah, absolutely. Amazing night last night. Very, very excited you went with us in there.
So Kit and Jeff came by 2 months ago. You guys are telling me this crazy story about how you go into prisons and you what? What do you do?
We go in and look for treasures buried in a field. And it's become an unlikely field of dreams. And it started, about 8 years ago, when I was invited in to see a kid that I knew that grew up and got into real trouble, and got involved in the gangs, he got convicted of a murder, and he's doing long time now. But it changed my life, because I went into the first prison, and what I expected to find, what I'd seen in the movies and on TV and all these hard up, locked up, hard time, gangland, you know, I found these real men, and they became my friends. And I just went in with fascination and no judgment, very curious. And I found hope in a hopeless place. I found light in what was the darkest and dangerous place. And these men became real to me, and they changed my life. And so now we go in, and now I expect that into every prison, which is many, many prisons around the country and around the world. I go in expecting to find men that really, really want to do something great with their lives, and we give them hope.
Yeah. So he told me that story a couple months ago, and some specifics, which we'll get to. And so I'm like, oh, that's great. Microphone off. Stop lying. What? You don't have to lie, right? You don't have to make up stories, Kit. And he's like, man, I promise you're going to come on out. I say, yeah, okay, yeah. So then you guys are like, yeah, come on out to La Mesa Prison in Tijuana. I was like, okay, sure, I'll run that one by the wife. And then you're like, well, we're actually going to Donovan, too. And I had no real excuse for that one. So finally went out last night and saw exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Unreal. These men... I don't quite know how to put it, because you've been around it for a long time. But like I said, they're men who want to change their life story. But why do they want to do that?
I think, new beginnings. I mean, the older you get in life, the more that we've lived on the planet longer, been around the sun more times. You know, we've hopefully learned from some of our mistakes, but some of us. All of us have been through things that, if I had a do-over, man, if I could do it again. And we have kids, we have sons. I mean, it's a special bond between a father and a son. And so we get into our 30s and we think we know it all. And then, you know, you get into a career, and then in your 40s and you're having kids and raising kids and life is going by. And I've passed 50, and I look back and there's things that that we want do-overs. Well, man, give me another chance. And most people don't get a chance to. These men believe that it is over. And most of the guys we saw last night doing life sentences, okay, a lot of them are not going to go home. And so to get them to hope again and dream again is a challenge. But man, when you see it in their eyes, last night we saw laughter, goosebumps, and tears. Three things that are very rare in maximum security prisons.
Well, rare in life, right? I mean, that's a good day if you can. That was a Jimmy V. He would always say, if you can do those three things, it's a pretty good day,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
I think he said laugh and cry, throw in goosebumps, it's pretty good. Yeah. Sprinkling on top. It's hard to get that anywhere, let alone a maximum security prison, let alone if you're living a life sentence. Why have hope? What do you think these men are now hopeful for?
Well, one, hope, they'll admit, hope is dangerous in a prison. Because hopes have been crushed. Hope has been stolen. It's been taken away from them. When they've hoped, they've had people say, man, I'll come and see you. They stop coming. Man, I'll write you. No more letters. I'll call. I'll visit. And everybody's left them. They're feared, forgotten, hated men. And so they've learned to not just not strive for hope, but stay away from it. Yeah. Because it's so painful. You know, every time they it's broken promises.
And get your hopes up, and then you get disappointed.
Crushed
so to
again.
Avoid the disappointment and pain, you
That's
stop
it.
The hope.
And we come in and we dare them to hope again. And we make them promises that you matter. We see you. We feel you. We've got you. We're going to take your message, and we're going to take it outside of this razor wire. And then we come back and we tell them, we did. Let me tell you what you did this week. Let me tell you what the kids are doing because of your work here. They just need a big why. They need a purpose, which all people do.
Yeah.
And that hope, when it comes back, it's powerful because there's so little of it in a prison.
Why? I want to ask this to Kit and then to Jeff, who can bring it to Mexico too. But why does this matter for the person driving to work right now, sitting at their desk right now, not in prison? Why does the hope of the guys at Donovan, who we met with last night, again, listening right now, why does their hope matter to someone listening driving on the 5 or whatever?
Well, somebody's driving down the road right here listening, and they're thinking, you know, there's a 55-year-old guy who's on the way to the box that he's in. And deep down right now in his heart, he's asking questions to himself. And he's saying, at the end of my life, when I look back, what have I done? What have I really done to change the planet? You know, what has me being on this planet done to make it a different place? And all of us have something inside of us, not just men, but especially men that are called to do something great. We're supposed to we're conquerors, we're warriors. We're supposed to win the maiden and take the hill.
That's
and
how
storm
we are all
the castle
created.
And
we're all created that
yes,
way.
God created us that way. And so these men have proven that they got courage. I mean, they're the kind of men that are willing to do whatever it takes to get what they want, which got them there, right? And so I'm asking men that are on their way and ladies and young people that might be listening, what is your why? What got you up this morning? Because people are bored. And they're afraid. And when men are bored, they get in trouble.
Yeah.
And when people are afraid, they get angry. And that's where we're having a lot of the problems that we got in this world. People are pissed off. And a lot of it is because they don't really have a purpose. And these guys are taking away excuses from people in the free world that are just arguing and fighting. And these guys are becoming the peacemakers and the role models. Man, I'm going to ask somebody driving this morning, consider that. This guy could be a role model to you. Can you handle that?
What do you mean, can we handle
Can you handle the truth?
go in there again. That's awesome. Can we handle what? That this someone in a prison can be a role model to me. What? What are you talking about? How's that possibly possible?
These men that we met with last night have made some decisions in that prison that could literally cost them their lives because they're standing up and saying, I want my life to matter. I want at the end of my life, whether it's 50, 60, 70, 80 years, that it was a life well lived. And we're trying to get them to dream and to believe that God is not done with you yet. And your best days are ahead of you if you make a change. It's never too late. You got another breath today. Do something that can change the world. And if we give them a way to do it, let us be your voice until you can get out there. Let us live your dream until you can get out there. And these guys are an army raising up to believe. I'm going to say this again, that I had a man come up to me in a prison. It's not the last time that asked me, Kit, do you believe there is a Nobel Peace Prize in this for us? And I'm like, good Lord, this guy is dreaming of a Nobel and he's wearing blue with an orange stripe. Now he's got a why. Now it's like, let's change the world. Let's get a Nobel. And I said, I promise you till the day I die, I will fight for you to get that.
What's wild is these men can try to find a purpose like that, but so many of us don't have a purpose. I don't want to say floundering aimless. We're going aimlessly. We're rat racing. Yeah. We're moving just wherever we are to be moved. Right? Yeah, we're not purposeful and directive. And I think that's true for everyone. I think that's true for the person riding on the streets, as you talked about, like in Milwaukee or something like that, bored and afraid. But I think that's true for the average guy going to work today, right, too. I mean, it's just like kind of like, what am I doing?
Maybe he's lost hope. You know, I mean, we're looking at a world that's lost hope. They don't believe that peace is possible. You know, we're in an election where people are like, good Lord. I mean, you know, where's the hope that this world can change? Many people have bought into the fact that it can't change. We're just going to have to, this is how it's going to be. And we're like, no, where there is hope, hope's the new dope.
Can we speak on that for a second?
Yeah.
All right. So last time you were here, you said this, hope is the new dope.
Yes,
okay. Now I'm going to be flat with you because I love you. And we've been through already a thing together, and I think we're going to be through more things together. So I'm just going to be real.
Just come on.
You told me hope's the new dope. And I said, in my head, I said, that's stupid. Right? Because like I'm the generation, the millennial generation that grew up with like, no put downs, pass it around in school. You know what I mean? These silly expressions, like even like the DARE program stuff, say no to drugs and like goofy stuff like that. You told me hope's the new dope. And in my head, I'm like, ah, whatever. So yesterday we're with these guys and you built up to it and you said, man, hope is the new dope. They loved it. They cracked up. It spoke to them, right?
Yeah, it spoke
to them in a powerful way. Yeah. Do you want to give us a 60-second on what that means? Because I'm not laughing at you now. I'm with it, man. It makes perfect sense to the audience you're speaking to.
Yeah, I love it.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Dope has changed. that expression has changed over the years. It comes from the word dopamine. It's a naturally occurring neurotransmitter that produces euphoria, and people chase it. And the dope fiend, dope became drugs. But now we've got a generation that says, man, those clothes are dope. Do you hear that music? That is dope, man. They're dope means cool, in, right, man. And so now hope is the new dope means so many things. I mean, hope, you getting hooked on it's a good thing. You can't get too high. You can't do too much. The high never ends. I mean, hope is the new dope. And kids need hope. And when they have hope that they can change the world, this generation can change the world. With a tweet, they can touch a million people. Hope is their new dope. They love it. And the bigger your why is, then that temptation, a drug, you know, or a fight or a bullying situation or a cyber post or sex at a young age, if your why is big and you've got hope that you can change the world, that temptation gets very small. Mm-hmm. And these men love it because it speaks to them. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I said, don't even try to steal it. I own it. That's on my t-shirt. And then they love it.
Yeah, I think it's great. Jeff, on the point about how these guys at Donovan, many of them that we met with yesterday, again, life sentences, how can they serve? And you want to talk about maybe the connections that you can make with them and some other kids?
Well, I think, you know, going back, people look at Kit and they're like, okay, that guy, he can relate to prisoners. I mean, just look at him. He's at home in a prison, right? He needs to go there. You look at him. But you look at me and my life, I'm probably more like your average listener. I grew up in a conservative home. My mom was head of Republican Women in New Mexico.
Yep.
Two of the seven physicians that went and brought modern medicine to Russia. I mean, it was a very conservative. I grew up in Los Alamos.
Middle-aged white guy. I love this line you had in front of these guys. You're basically saying what you're saying. You're like, listen, I got no tattoos. I do have this scar here that I got from a waffle iron accident.
Exactly.
But they loved
exactly.
it.
But here's the thing.
The most Anglo-Saxon man I've ever met. He's clear.
But here's the thing is that I have learned from the guys in Mexico in prison and the guys here in prison that I never thought I'd go in and see me. I want to talk a little bit more about that because people think, oh, that's them. These guys don't look like them. I'm not tatted up. There's a whole. But for me, I lived a clean life. Like I've shared with them, I never took a drug. You know, I never slept with my wife before we were married. And you could hear the gasp, you know. But to go in there, take a look, they've given me hope. They've given me hope that now a 52-year-old man, what am I going to do with my life? Because I think a lot of 52-year-olds and older, those guys are in their own prisons where they've just kind of are doing life and it's done and there's no more story. And
no more story.
There's no more
story. Good line. Yeah.
Then going down to Mexico, being with the young kids in Tarasas, being with the prisoners there, being with the prisoners in Donovan, it's like, whoa, wait a second here. There's a whole world of dreamers. There's a whole way for me to now finish my story. And it's not because of I'm any better than them or they're any worse than me or they're better than me. It's like, wow, it brings the humanity together. And I think that that's what our world misses. We're not communicating with each other. We're not looking each other in the eyes. We're not listening to each other's stories. So we're judging each other. So we've got blacks against whites. We've got police against the community, whatever. And because we're not listening and looking at each other, but when we do, we just see ourselves and we can't judge. We can't judge anymore. Now it's like, how are we going to work together to turn this crazy thing upside down and really be able to change this world into a way that brings us?
I literally had that exact moment. Can we take a break here, guys? You stick around.
Absolutely.
Real quick, on the way over to the prison, Kit goes, "All right, Slater, so you know, when are you going to talk to these guys?" And I was like, "Okay, I'm not. Okay, I'm just going to sit on the side of the wall or whatever." And Kit goes, "All right, yeah, we'll see." But by the end, Kit got me talking, and we had a really cool moment. And can we say names here? So before we started the whole thing, I met Weasel, right? So Weasel's tatted his whole face, whole head, everything. Just straight up tattoos everywhere. If I saw him, if any of our listeners saw him, you'd be like, ooh, whoa. But he, once you look past the tattoos, like he had something in his eyes. Like, do you know what I mean? Like there was like a spark.
It was a shine.
I've really almost never seen it in anyone. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then I asked him a question when I was talking at the end. And he said something that I'll never forget. So I'll always remember this guy that if I stopped at the tattoos, never would have had that moment.
Right.
But we were able to look past that and something cool happened. We'll tell you all about that next. 1-800-760-KFMB, Mike Slater Show. Spread the word. It's never
too late. They've learned to not just not strive for hope, but stay away from it because it's so painful. And we come in and we dare them to hope again. And we make them promises that you matter. We see you, we feel you, we got you.
Got a tweet here from James. He says, "Mike, why are you always trying to make people cry at work?" Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. Go ahead, James, cry.
James, tweet back why. Why does this? Because me too, man. Amen. Why this? Why does this conversation speak to you? Because we're talking about prisoners at Donovan. I said already the number of guys we talked to. Is that okay? I don't want to speak out of turn. Is that cool? So we're like 60 guys.
Yeah.
How many of them do you think were serving life?
Probably 2/3. I mean,
so 40, you know, 40,
give or take.
Yeah, 40, 40. It's a life sentence. So we're talking about meeting with these guys last night at Donovan and telling their story and talking about hope and redemption. But like, what speaks to you, James? Because you're not in Donovan right now. So I know the guys at Donovan are listening right now are thinking, right? Like, what can I do? What can I do for James? James is at work. What's the connection between James and the guy at Donovan with tattoos all over his face who's suffering a life sentence? There's a connection there. That's wild. We got to find out what that is. You probably know, Kit. What's the connection?
The men that we met with last night would tell James, are you grateful that you're on the outside? You know, I mean, today, what are you going to do with your freedom today? What are you going to do with all the blessings today? I mean, how grateful, how thankful, how joyful are you going to live today with passion? Are you going to, you're going to make 250 choices today, James, on average. You know how many the convict's going to make? 25. They're going to be told what to wear, when to go, when to eat, when to shower, when to shave, where they can go, who they can go with, who can. In the free world, we've got unlimited choices, and yet people are walking zombies, playing Pokemon, and walking into the street because they got nothing else to do. Okay.
You're right. Amen. Amen. All right, we got 2 minutes. Let's speak on this. So Kit got me to talk in front of these guys, and I wanted to ask him a question. And this ended up being a pretty cool moment. Can you speak to it? I want to get your interpretation.
When you got up?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the most powerful time of the evening. We spent 2 hours with these men. Mike got up at the end, and he was brilliant. And he said, "Guys, I'm going to have a son, my first child in 7 weeks. His name is Jack." And so Jack's getting ready to come into the world. He said, "I want advice from you because one day I want to tell Jack that this brilliant piece of wisdom came from convicts in a California state prison." What would you have me say? And then would you like to say, or I mean?
I think the first thing just generally was everyone had a, like, boom, like everyone yelled out a piece of advice.
Yeah.
And then because it was chaos, voluntarily hands went up to be called on. Like, Everyone had a piece of advice right there and then at that moment, and but they wanted it so badly to get out that hands went up so that we could do it in an orderly fashion. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
What spoke to you about the pieces of advice?
Gosh, it got quiet, and these were the things that I heard that I'll never forget. One brother, he looked at you and said, please don't beat him. And another one said, tell him you love him. And another one said, take him to the park and teach him how to throw a ball. Listen to him.
Understand him was one of them.
Understand him. But they were looking at you, and they were almost in their eyes. They were saying, please do for him what nobody did for me, or please don't hurt him like I hurt mine. Give me another shot. Do yours right.
Give him time. I mean, I heard that over and over. Give him time. And I think that's the theme with them in there and us out here is, what are you going to do with your time? Where are you going to spend your time? And you said, Mike, you said, most, we're in a free world where people are so distracted. They all become workaholics. They're vacationing. It's what are we going to do with our time?
The amazing thing about their answers, and we can talk more about them, we got to take a break, but was, as you said, Kev, it was either, please do it this way, Slater, because I did it wrong, and this is how I would do it if I could do it again.
Right.
Like, I would spend more time with my, I'd throw the ball around every time. Every time I would throw the ball with him.
Yeah.
If I could. So please throw the ball with him. Or, man, I wish my dad threw the ball with me.
Mm-hmm. Getting goosebumps right now. It's the end of Field of Dreams that makes every man cry. He's having a pitch with his dad, and they're both crying because they never did it when he was alive. And so now that at the end of his life, they're playing. I cry every time I've seen the movie 20 times. Can I play pitch, Dad? Can we have a pitch?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what these boys want, these boys. We say we're all little boys. We were all little boys again.
Yeah.
In that moment last night.
Yeah, it was good. So what's my promise to these guys with their advice they gave me? First, I'm going to go back in a couple weeks, and I'm going to ask them again, because in a month, you go once a month?
When I go every week somewhere and then do a prison around.
So let's try to go back before the 6 weeks are over and we can spend more time with these guys.
Yes, I'll be back
in
September.
I want to get more advice from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Parental advice. But what's my promise to them when they give me this advice?
Well, that you will, I always tell them, I'm going to live your dream for you until you can get out here and do it with me. So I'm going to carry your voice into the free world and teach people that there is goodness behind this razor wire. These are men that want to be dads again. They want to be role models to Jack. Let them be. And then carry them with you. And let Jack learn from them. That gives them a purpose, and that is a life well lived. They can know they made a difference, and that's your promise to them, and then keep it. They're used to broken promises. Yeah. We try to keep them.
Yeah. I got another funny. I can be around, but I got another funny story about that moment from Alexander. He had a funny line that we'll joke about next year. We'll wrap up with these guys. Kit, what's your book? People can buy it.
Peace Behind the Wire: A Nonviolent Resolution.
Peace Behind the Wire. And you have a website?
Absolutely. Powerofpeaceproject.com.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't do that before. Powerofpeaceproject.com. All right. We'll talk more about our trip last night to Donovan and what life lessons we can all take from it. Do that next. Mike Slater Show. Spread the word. Slater Crusaders, I appreciate you being here. Thanks for giving us some of your time. Shout out to the guys at Donovan Prison as well who are listening right now. Kit, Jeff, and I went to Donovan Prison, which is down by the border, last night. These guys, this is what they do, and they dared me to join them. And I said, nah. And then they asked again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And again, and again. So we went down last night. It was pretty amazing. So we met with 60 guys. Maximum security prison, about 40 of the guys serving life there. And these guys gave them an incredible purpose and mission and hope. And it's life lessons that we can all learn from, not in prison. And to be inspired by guys who are serving life sentences, that's weird. But that's what happened last night. I want to share one story of that'll be with me forever. But Jeff, someone came up to you after the 2 hours.
Yeah, we were saying goodbye, and, you know, older man came up to me, shook my hand. I go, hey, thanks for letting me come. He goes, you know, thank you. I've been in here 40 years. And so I go on to the next guy, and he doesn't let go, pulls me back, looks me in the eye. Like, you need to get this, son. kind of a moment. And he goes, I've been in here 40 years, and tonight, this was the best night I have ever had. And I'm like, so to keep me from just falling down and crying, yeah. I go on to the next guy, you know? Yeah. But it was like, whoa.
40 years. And never once got a message of what? Like, why did it speak to him, you think?
I personally think that we all need to know someone cares about us. You know, these guys are forgotten. They're locked up. And I think that one of the things that they've impacted me with is we walk in, you were there with us, and everyone, Jeff.
Oh, so like, it was crazy. Because some of these guys you met once before.
One time, a month ago. And they're like, oh, we were just talking about you on Sunday. We're like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. You know? And they remembered our names, came up, gave us a hug, and they're like, man, we've been asking for you guys to come back. We're so glad. And you're just like, and so to me, what hit me last night, and I shared it with the guys, is I felt their love. I felt their acceptance, their non-judgment towards me.
How could that be? Why do they have, because again, to what Kit was speaking of earlier, like you think of prison, right? And a lot of these guys looked like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, tattooed all up in the face, the whole thing.
It's so a movie set right
it
there.
It looked like it. But they were nothing like it. No. So why were they accepting of white guy up there who has never had a drug in his life? Why are they accepting of you when they've lived this life of gangs and murder and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I think we're giving them hope and they're giving us hope. And we're, you know, we're dealing it to each other. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Kit can talk more about I'm new to the prison getting in there. I started off going to a prison in Mexico. That was my first initiation. And now we're dealing the one here in Donovan. But
why can we relate?
I think it, we developed this thing called the antivirus. Okay. And we started thinking about that, that whole concept. It's like a flu shot. It doesn't make a lot of sense that you would get the flu to keep you from getting the flu, yeah. Right? And the body, we know how that works. You give it a little dead virus, the body responds, develops the immune system. Yeah. So it knows when it shows up how to deal with it. You know, when you get bit by a snake, they'll give you the venom as the, you know. Yeah. And so this antivirus, so we tell the story in there. And there's this aha moment when I say, okay, if the flu is the answer to the flu and venom is the answer to a snake bite, what is the answer to crime in America? And there's a pause, and then all of a sudden they're like, us, a transformed criminal. I said, you carry the disease. You know this thing. You are an army waiting to change the world because you get it. And so this, all of a sudden, this inspired, this is where goosebumps happen fast, because they realize that for the first time in their lives, behind that razor wire, somebody is not telling them what they better do, what they better not do. You better shape up. Don't do that again. We're going to lock you down. You're going to the hole. It's no, you're the solution, and we are counting on you to change the world. Give us the best story we've ever had, and we will go take it to the world, because the world is not doing it. The grown folks ain't changing it. So we're like, okay, let's take the hopeless and forgotten. And there's a book that we read where God says that is exactly what he's going to do. Yeah. He's going to take the worst and the least, and he's going to shame the wise. And I tell them, you are witnessing this in your generation, and it's you. No pressure, but you better change the world. You're the antivirus.
Ties in perfectly to who we celebrate often on the show, and it just so happened to be 2 days ago. We had this group in the studio at 11 o'clock, if you remember, Boys to Men. So it's an in-school mentoring program. They're in 19 schools or 19 schools here in San Diego, and I think there's 22 on the wait list or vice versa, whatever. And they deal with middle school kids. And the mentors are guys out of prison who have been there and can relate straight off the bat. So they're living that life in freedom now. But there's no reason why the guys who are living it behind the bars can't do the same thing as well and be that message and do incredible work. Can I share a quick story about Alexander? So
please.
When we were when I got up and talked for a couple minutes and I asked the guys, I said, hey, I'm going to be a dad in 6 weeks. And they all started applauding, first of all, right? They were super stoked. And I said, what's your advice? And they all threw something out there right away. And then it was chaos, so they all started raising their hands, and we went around the room, and everyone gave some advice, and it was beautiful advice that you went over a second ago, Kit. And because I told the guys, I said, listen, I want something here that when I do, and people say, why do you do that? Or why are you like that? Or why are you so dedicated to throwing the ball with your son? I could be like, oh, I learned that in Donovan prison. Mm-hmm. And Weasel here told me that I gotta do this every time. So here I am doing it every time.
Weasel. Shout out to Weasel. Weasel's happy at this moment, baby.
So there's one guy who I don't think he talked the whole night. Right. Pryor. Alexander's his name. He raised his hand. I pointed to him and he goes, Slater, when you wrap him up and you bundle him up, make sure that he's wrapped up real tight like a burrito. You gotta, like, he's giving like mother, like this is like advice my grandma would give my wife. Or you know what I mean? Like what? And he's got to wrap him up like a burrito. And I'm like, that's perfect, Alexander. I'm going to go tell my wife she's going to wrap him up and be like, no, honey, Alexander told me you got to do it like a burrito, right? And then he goes, and this is my favorite part. And he goes, you know, when you get to get the milk and you make the milk warm, you got to dip it on the back of your hand. You got to pour the milk in the back of your hand to make sure it's the right temperature. That is a, I don't know what he's in for, right? But his fatherly advice was on swaddling and warming up the milk properly. Like, beautiful. You can't tell me that we're not all the same.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like, that's weird, man. Like, that was his advice.
Yeah.
We are all the same if we get past the nonsense.
That's yeah. it.
That's what I learned. And then Jorge's advice, as you mentioned before, was essentially love your son and don't beat him. And he got super quiet.
And teary eye.
Yeah, yeah. Because he went back to his childhood.
Yeah.
And just wanted so badly to be differently and to have my little son's life be different too. So
yeah.
I don't know. Anything else from that moment that stood up as we wrap up?
Gosh, I think these guys, they feel invisible. They feel unimportant. They feel like they don't matter anymore because they've bought into the lie of what people have told them. And what if, for all those that are listening, have you ever made a mistake that nobody knows about? Have you ever broken a law that you did not get caught for? I mean, is there big ones and little ones? Yeah. I mean, but it's a matter of degree. And so these men, they are human. And we always say this is we're not bringing God to you. We are looking for the God in you. And when you said that Weasel's eyes shine, it was, I mean, he has a shine and he wasn't the only guy in the room,
no.
But he is responding to you seeing him because he feels invisible to the free world. And when we go in there where we say, we see you and look at him and see him and listen to him. And now think about what you're doing. The advice they gave you last night was not only good advice, but now you are broadcasting it to America. You have given them a voice, and it's good advice. And then we got the guys driving down the road crying, Slater, quit making me cry, man. And so, I mean, think about it. You're fulfilling your promise. They have a voice. Now, their day-to-day is going to be different. They're going to walk taller, and they're going to look, I mean, they're going to be stronger men today because they made a difference today.
Yeah, they did.
That's what we want.
And that's... We'll end on the we because that's what we all want. You said they don't feel important. They don't feel significant. They feel invisible. How many people walking around today feel the same way?
Exactly.
The same way.
Yeah.
Same way. I think I told the guys, I think I said, you know, people out there are free. They live in freedom, but they feel trapped or living like they're trapped. And I was like, I don't know how to talk to a bunch of convicts here. So I'm just going to be blunt. You guys are trapped. But if you follow this, then you can live a life of freedom and fulfillment and meaning and significance. And that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
All right. So guys at Donovan, we're listening to you. We see you. I will hear you. I told my wife already Alexander's advice. so it's being implemented. I'm excited about
burrito,
it.
Burrito, no fajitas.
Not a sloppy taco here. Right, come on
now.
Keep it tight. So guys, we'll be back in a couple of weeks and we'll hang out again and we'll share some more. I'll take some more fatherly advice. And then we'll go back next month and I'll tell y'all how I don't sleep at all because we're taking care of the kid and doing all these things.
There you go.
It'll be cool. Jeff, Kit, what's the website again?
PowerOfPeaceProject.com.
All right, it's good stuff. Power of Peace. I'm sorry, it's not good stuff. It's the answer. So if you're interested in the answer, then you go there. If you want to waste time, then you I don't know, worry about politics.
Play Pokemon.
Is that play Pokemon Go and think that government and politicians are going to solve all of our problems. If you want to get to the answer, it's powerpeaceproject.com. Kit, Jeff, you guys are awesome. Thanks, guys. Mike Slater Show. Spread the word. Why does this matter? Why does any of this matter? Why did we spend an hour doing this? If nothing else, right, we'll look past the deeper things, which is the desire that we all have to live a life of significance and purpose and meaning and all that, which we all have. Look past all that at the surface. Race, So I was in a room of people serving life sentences, right? They got nothing to lose. And I'm sitting in this room and there's a black guy sitting next to a white guy, sitting next to a Hispanic guy, sharing their lives and trying to find a common purpose together. If they can do that, what the heck are we doing? Now, I know you're not in this, but like the people in our country, like we can't. There's people out there still race baiting today in the free world. And these guys are behind bars for life and they can come together for the common purpose. Of what are we doing? Come on, wake up. Let's learn from these guys. And also, if they can live a life of redemption and purpose, then there is no excuse for us to not do the same. Coming up next, California just released last year's state test scores. Take a guess. We'll tell you all about it next. Spread the word.